Thank you, Oscar. Didn't realize when I gave him, he asked for a short bio and he read the whole thing. The choices. I have a lot of co-authors because this represents maybe 20, 25 years of experience with Hartwell Allen and Var Prasad, Jeff Baker, Russ Gesch and Allison Snyder, and a more recent study with Bernie Hauser. Why study temperature effects, aspects of climate change? Temperature is anticipated to rise 2 to 6 degrees over the next century, associated with the greenhouse effect. And the elevated CO2 is actually beneficial, fairly well understood, but the elevated temperature effects are less well understood, and to our best knowledge so far, they're detrimental, especially to the reproductive aspects. And also, I have a hypothesis, is that beneficial interactions of CO2 and temperature, which do occur for vegetative, do not occur for grain yield. I'm trying to figure out which pointer to point at. It creates a problem, doesn't it? I'm going to give some examples of yield, harvest index, seed set, response to elevated temperature for 5 different crops, and I'll contrast these because the phenomenon is the same, but the cardinal temperatures at which you have the optimum and failure change. We need to understand the mechanisms, and usually it's non-viable pollen, elevated temperature during the period of pollen formation and the day of fertilization. That appears to be the mechanism in almost all of these crops. So that's the commonality. So it's the male aspect, not the female ovule. Seed fill duration is shorter, but that's not what's causing failures. More rapid leaf senescence, yes, but that's minor. Reduced photosynthesis varies by crop, and I consider it the minor aspect of the elevated temperature failure. So everybody that wants to improve photosynthesis tolerance is going down a stray pathway, in my view. And higher respiration is there, but I think it's minor also. So, and I'll also talk about genetic variation, but probably don't have time for that. Molecular genetics to the rescue, I think, is going to be a tough story because this picture reproduces over so many species. I'll give examples from sunlight-controlled environment chambers that we have at the University of Florida on these 5 crops. CO2 temperature. So these are 2 by 1 meter land area, control the temperature very nicely the whole cycle. This is Allison Snyder, a former graduate student, in a little glove box taking measurements on rice. And the rice experiments conducted over a 6-year period of experiments with Hartwell Allen, Jeff Baker, Russ Gesch, and Snyder had 6 or 8 sunlit controlled environment chambers. 5 experiments on the IR30 indica type, and 1 experiment on M103 Japonica IR72 indica type. Hypothetically, indica's more heat tolerant. That turned out not to be true. Looked at 2 CO2 levels. I won't emphasize that here, but temperature variation with the first studies with Baker on IR30, square wave. 25 degrees during the day, 18 at night, and bumping up by steps of 3 all the way up to 40 daytime, 33 at night. And then the other experiments were done with a diurnal cycle, which I'll show next. This shows an example of the hot temperature treatment would go from a minimum of 30 up to maximum of 40 at Tmax, decay function at night using the Parton and Logan. Now, here's the first set of results. This is rice, 5 experiments, all put together in one set. You can see that dry matter productivity, some curvature there, but not big time change. This is grain yield, optimum at 25. This 27 degrees is the typical summertime temperature in the subtropics in Florida and the southern U.S. So we're already on the downhill slide. The failure point here is at about 35 degrees Celsius, mean temperature, okay? I'll point that out later because it depends on whether you use max min. Okay, here is the harvest index of rice in that experiment, and it looks exactly like the yield, and this is the best single indicator that I can think of for heat damage on reproductive. Failure at 35 for rice. And it didn't matter whether it was high CO2 or low. This is the percent filled grains. It's actual filled grain number, but you could put percent filled grains on it. It's optimum cool, and the failure point is at 35 degrees Celsius. This is the Japonica. This is data from Kim Horier 1996 publication. This shows percent spikelet fertility against Tmax. Okay, that's important. A 40, 30 temperature, 40 would be daytime max, would be about right here. So in fact, this is exactly consistent with the data that I was showing you before. So daytime above about 33 Tmax starts to reduce pollen viability. Daytime Pmax at 40, zero. This is rice. And the same data now we've seen on four cultivars, if you add the one from Horier. Biomass accumulation in the study by Gesch and Schneider, yes, it's reduced a little more for Japonica. But this is the grain yield. The grain yield failed at 35 degrees, exactly the same. And this is done under the diurnal cycle temperature, 40 Tmax cycling through to Tmin 30. What was Japonica and Indica, same sensitivities. Indica is known to have cold temperature sensitivity. It could not handle 18 degree Tmin at night for a few hours. Okay, had issues with good spikelet generation. This shows the time to anthesis, and watch the curvature here. Shorter time to anthesis down to about 29 to 30 degrees. Then you start going the other way. So heat unit approaches, growing degree day approaches need to at least flat top at about 30 degrees. This shows time to maturity, and again, flat above about 29 degrees, mean temperature, and of course no maturity because we failed to set grain. You see green glooms and no mature seed. This shows grain filling. Effective grain filling collected by taking samples during the single grain growth. And there's a lot of scatter in that, but generally what you would expect is shorter grain fill duration as the temperature increases. Japonica a little more sensitive than the Indica, but that's not the cause for the failures. Another species, this is sorghum. Maybe a big surprise, this is from Bar Prasad, published in this paper. Exactly like rice. Total failure at 40-30 diurnal cycle. 35 degree mean temperature, and for the same reasons. This is an interesting picture. This one flowered in 40 days, this one 41 days, the one at 40-30 at about 10% emergence of panicles, and later at 60 days at 44-34, that's this one, tremendous number of leaves, nice healthy plant, no panicles. Now these were in pots. We took them out, put them outside under normal temperature, and about a month or so later, we saw panicle exertion. Did not scientifically categorize them. I think they had a lot of failed grain sites, but there's an issue there. So I think sorghum delays. Okay, this is the pollen viability. Percent pollen viability against temperature, and this is the diurnal cycle. Failure at 40-30 diurnal cycle, just like rice. More important, in this study, the one at elevated CO2 was more sensitive. Somatol conductance is less, warmer leaf temperature by about 1 degree, shoving this over. Okay? Corn is the same. We have some recent data that basically says the same thing works on maize. So maize, rice, sorghum, all the same. Some data on peanut, and in the same chambers, Var Prasad with Georgia Green, and running diurnal temperatures from 32-22, which would be 26 mean, up to a 44-34. And I may show this if I have time. Sunlit or temperature gradient greenhouses. Now, This is at 350 and at 700, but here the failure point for grain yield, seed yield, is at about 40 degrees Celsius, roughly 4 to 5 degrees more tolerant than rice, sorghum, and maize. Soybean will do the same. Here's the pollen viability from Vara Prasad. Again, failure right at about 39, 40 degrees percent seed set. This is a different study from Vara Prasad back on his PhD, believe it or not, in England. And what he's doing here is looking at one day of the floral bud at a whole day long mean temperature. So if you're at about 40 degrees, almost no fertility, at whatever that temperature is, about 33, good shape. Now, this is what's interesting. Here's a case of putting on one day at 39 degrees prior to the flower appearance. And this one day, you can back up all the way about 6 days prior to the flower appearance and the day of flower opening, you get reduced fertility. Now, what does that mean? That is the time period in which the pollen are being generated and formed. So if you all are working at creating this phase duration, you need to back up maybe a week in creating a window for that. This is the elevated temperature tunnels. We gradient increasing by 4.5 from this site to this site. And I won't use all of this, but pod yield on peanut, 4 years of data, reduced going from 26.5 to 30 degrees, 31% reduction in yield, 7% per 1 degree. Biomass, not much. Okay, it's all in harvest index again, seed harvest index, also seed size. I'll show some data on soybean, Bragg soybean, group 7. Two different experiments done at this whole range of temperatures from 2818 to 4838. Now, we managed to kill most of the plants here, finally, but 4434 grew very nicely. And I'll show you this. Here's total biomass per plant all the way up to 4434. Here's the 4838. And here's grain yield. And failure point is exactly like peanut, 39 to 40 degrees. And the harvest index, failure at, again, 40 degrees. Seed size declines. Now, something else interesting here, and that is up to the point where you get failure, you actually get more seeds. The plant is attempting to compensate. Another interesting thing is that, okay, you expect this. Time to anthesis is most rapid at 30 degrees. Above that, you actually slow down a little bit. What's even more important is that post-anthesis, time from anthesis to maturity, is most rapid at 23 degrees Celsius average temperature. Warmer delays, a little bit like sorghum. I think that we have misplaced day length effect a little bit with temperature effect in some of our soybean phenology. One more experiment done in, this is a different temperature control greenhouse system with about 36 plants in each of 8 rooms. This time done with Maverick, a group 3 maturity group, indeterminate. This is done square wave temperature, 30, 22 coolest, up to 42, 34. So roughly the average here would be 38 degrees. And we did some phase dependent high temperatures. You'll see these in just a minute. Here's the one where continuous temperature starting right at flowering. If you do that, this is the control, 30, 22. Warmer temperature, 38, 30, delay. And what's the other one? 34, 26 is 38. So elevated temperature delaying the onset of pod addition. And here's delaying the growth of total pod mass. And no pods formed at 38 degrees average temperature. You had more total nodes formed on the plants at maturity. Delayed reproductive stage after beginning seed flower, just like the prior study. This is seed yield per plant declining in at 42.34.0, so within 1 degree of the other study. And here's plant weight per plant, and pretty well flat until we get to the really hot temperature. Seed harvest index, same way, declining, reach zero. Weight per seed, declining. And here's another one that's been fascinating to me, and this is, this is just simply the pod number counts on a different experiment, a third experiment. So here is 38, 30, delay in onset of pods, and a longer duration. We actually had more total pods because we had more nodes on the plant. Here is the phase dependent, and HT1 is started very early, about 10 days until about flowering. That caused about a 10-day delay in the onset of pod numbers. Here's another one that started 10 days of heat stress at 42-34. At flowering, we knocked out all the pods there, and this one had to start right here, but they eventually set about the same number. And then if we had another heat stress 10 days later, after it already started adding, you get this window where you reduce pod number and then it recovers. And one or two more, I'm not sure how long I'm going, but this is bean, more temperature, red kidney, an Andean type. Total dry matter reduced pretty dramatically on the plants. This is grain yield, and the failure temperature here is 32 degrees Celsius, and I would guess that optimum is back here at 20, 22. Pollen number, this is seed number, seed size. This is the pollen. So there's both reduced numbers of pollen as well as reduced pollen viability. Here's the 37-27 where we had basically failure, 32 degrees average temperature. So harvest index is a good way to summarize all of this. This green is the dry bean, and I think it would be like tomato. This is rice harvest index, failure at 35, looks just like the sorghum. And these two are soybean and peanut, failing at about 39 to 40. Seed set mimics the same, it won't do that. Seed size reduced on peanut, soybean, and dry bean. Rice hangs on to seed size until you reach basically failure point. So here's a summary conclusion, and that is that elevated temperature affects reproductive much more than it does vegetative. Yield optimum is at roughly 25 or less for some species. You get zero yield at 32 degree mean temperature for bean, 35, 36 for rice, and rice, sorghum, and maize, and 40 degrees for soybean and peanut. And a 10-day period of water stress, high temperature, will basically reduce fertility and delay pollination. And we see no beneficial interactions of elevated CO2 with temperature, and some cases of negative. And we need to search for heat-tolerant cultivars. I'll show you one slide on this and then stop. But this is spikelet sterility of 10 lines in this temperature gradient greenhouse. This is the most tolerant one, and a family of susceptible lines. So there's some genetics. Soybean has less. We've actually screened these. We haven't published this in the same system. Soybean has all high fertility under this same temperature environment. So let me stop there. Thank you. Go ahead, David. He's pointing at you. Oh, you need the mic.
Thanks, Ben. That was really interesting. I guess I had something between a comment and a question. The comment we can disagree with it is that the statement that reproductive processes are going to be much more sensitive than vegetative is in the context of well-watered experiments. And that in
yes.
The field, you're going to have much more vegetative effects associated with water. And the question rice is maybe shown some more genetic variability in soybean and peanut and so is there, is that the product on the sorghum side, or is it sort of consistent on the rice side and the other, the pulse crops would be
Your first comment is right. This is all done under normal, good irrigated water conditions. So if you add drought stress to it, you need to have another worry because you're pushing foliage temperature up there. The rice is actually pollinating earlier in the day phenomenon, along with this N22 is a very tall plant. I don't know whether it's escaping something. There is variability there. We have not looked at sorghum, so I wouldn't disagree that you're seeing that. Whether sorghum is escaping by how it handles with the glooms and the elevation of the grains. The statement about soybean is basically that Gopal Kakani did a screen, I believe that he's the one that did this, on pollen viability or short-term sensitivity, and just the critical failure points were so minor differences, 2 degrees, 3 degrees most, between something like 40 lines, just wasn't there. What I would say is that soybean is quite tolerant. And there is peanut variation, according to Varprasad and others. Yeah. Tice? Sorry. That's been a great experience running through with all of these plants to see the contrasts and yet similarities. That's why I'm not optimistic about molecular genetics tremendously solving the problem. Go ahead.
Okay, very interesting. I have basically two comments. The first one is about pollen viability. It may at least pollination or fertilization, pollen release occurs in the very beginning of the day. And so, but temperature, it's really the temperature at that point of counts. So, basically, an hour after sunrise, that's when most of the pollination comes. So, you have to, that's the temperature you should be looking at. Often. So, this is the pollen side. Now, on the I was curious, of course, just the other side, the florid side. And so this viability in peanut, I was wondering, peanuts growing on the ground. What is the temperature of the soil?
Okay. Well, the flower is not in the soil, but it is fairly low, you know, 5 centimeters above soil level pretty routinely. Also, peanut and soybean do pollinate and shed pollen very early in the morning, probably pretty close to sunrise. And on maize, I would disagree a little bit. I think you have to have a certain dryness before you have shed. So you're a little later. But there's one other problem with that. I think that the temperature during the pollen formation phase is probably as critical as the day of the pollination. So now if you play with random weather that bumps 3 or 4 days hot and cold, you can knock out maize. Soybean and peanut, just throw off those 3 or 4 days and go back and set more. They're tremendously indeterminate. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay.